You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slaps a tackle, and there he goes. It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis, still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to talk about day number two of mandatory minicamp. There will be no day number three because, as we said yesterday, that was canceled. So a lot got packed in today. And, of course, to break it all down, we've got our friend who covers the Jets for NorthJersey.com, Mr. Andy Vasquez. Andy, what's going on, sir?
Hey, Scott. Yeah, busy day out there. Got to practice. Heard from the owner for the first time in 4 years, basically all the position coaches and a couple of players too. So they kept us busy today, and obviously a lot to talk about.
Let's start with what happened on the field. This was the final time that we're going to see on-field action until training camp begins at the end of July. What'd you see today?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. Woody Johnson spoke right before practice, and given the nature of my job, I had to get a story up quickly, and that resulted in me missing some of the practice. So I didn't get out there until they were already into team drills. So I didn't get to see a ton of the action today, but what I did see was interesting. They were doing live scrimmage-like stuff. The closest thing to live football that we really see, going full 11 on 11 and advancing the ball down the field. Situational type stuff where they had a score up on the scoreboard and the offense is driving. I think it was 14-9 with like a minute left, one timeout, and it's get the ball in the end zone and try to win the game. And I believe they did that twice. The first drive, Wilson looked pretty good, but couldn't get it in the end zone. The second drive, he looked really well, really good, moved the ball well, drove it down to about the 7-yard line, and then the drive stalled there. It actually ended with Wilson throwing a ball that got batted back to him, and he caught it and then ran it and got touched down about 2 yards short of the goal line. So that was the last play of this offseason program for Wilson, a throw to himself, which you don't see often. But it was overall, I think, a really good offseason program for Zach Wilson. He looked good. He looked good on that drive for the most part. Obviously, this guy's getting a lot thrown at him, and to be able to basically – and we'll talk about this a little later, I'm sure, when we talk about what some of the coaches and coordinators say. But for Wilson to be able to understand the offense and be able to get in a situation like that, basically three weeks after learning the playbook and implementing it, to be able to adjust to the plays as they're being called, get the players in the right position, and then move the ball down the field against the first team defense, that's a pretty good leaving off point as you head into training camp, and obviously with 6 weeks to kind of study and get more familiar with the playbook, and do the work that he's going to do off the field, and then reinstall the offense when they get back to training camp. There's a real chance for him to build on this then. And that's what you got to look forward to. And that's, I think, how you got to feel excited about this, this guy moving forward. And then some other things, Elijah Moore was involved again, had another pretty solid day. Denzel Mims, who did not get any work with the first team yesterday, was kind of rotating in there a little bit today. So that was promising to see, but the main guys were still Moore, Corey Davis, and Keelan Cole, which is not a surprise. It still seems like Denzel Mims is behind Cole on the depth chart, but obviously a long time to go before the season starts. And then we saw the same thing that we saw throughout training camp. I'm sorry, throughout OTAs and mini camp. We saw the same thing on defense. A lot of rotating in with the quarterbacks, a lot of the rookies getting in there, even at linebacker, and the defensive line kind of trying out a lot of guys there too. So overall, I think it was a really positive training camp. I'm sorry, I keep saying training camp, but overall, I think it was a really positive offseason for the Jets, and they looked as good as you can look in shorts, and now it's time to see how they look going into training camp in late July.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Beyond what we saw on the field today, there were a lot of people that spoke. He talked about Woody Johnson. This was the first time that he's talked since coming home as the ambassador to the United Kingdom. What did he have to say?
Yeah, the last time we talked to Woody Johnson in a setting like this, he was talking about Christian Hackenberg. So that tells you how long it's been. I think it was January of 2017, right after that 2016 season. So he had a lot to say. First of all, he said that it was good to be back and talked about how difficult it was to kind of watch while the Jets struggled over there. And he said, this is the best job in the world to be the owner of this team and to be able to try to lead them back to where he wants them to be. And obviously that's been a struggle, but he said that the vibe under Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas is different than when he got here, and in a good way and very promising. Admitted that it's early because they're in shorts, to use his words. But if things can continue going this way, he's confident that it may not take that long. And that's kind of not what you usually hear from an owner. Usually it's, I'm not going to put a timetable on this stuff. But when he was asked that question about how long do you think it will be, he said nobody knows, but he believes in what Coach Robert Saleh is selling. He believes in the message. He believes in kind of the principles that he has, and that if the players buy in, that they can get this thing turned around quickly. And when asked why fans should believe in the Johnsons after the way it's gone for basically the last two decades, he said you got to have faith and also look at where the organization is heading right now and ask yourself if you feel good about it. So it's hard to argue with him there, but also, as he pointed out, they haven't done anything yet. We're going to find out when they're in pads starting in training camp and obviously when they start facing competition. He also was asked about Zach Wilson and raved about his work ethic and obviously the fact that he can make all the throws and that he's mobile, but also admitted that you don't really know if a guy is the franchise quarterback. You have to wait and see, and we're in shorts right now. But they feel like there's something there. They feel good about it and they're excited about it, but you got to see how he looks in camp. You got to see how he looks in the preseason, and then you got to see how he looks when he steps it up to the next level. He talked about how involved he would be with the team moving forward in terms of the day-to-day operation. He says pretty involved, but not at all with the football stuff. He's not going to tell them who to sign, who to play, that sort of stuff. But he wants to make sure that the Jets can establish the kind of culture that Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are trying to establish and make sure that he's doing everything he can to establish their values throughout the building in the organization. And he also talked about patience. He was asked, obviously Jets fans shouldn't have a lot of patience right now because it's been 10 years since they last went to the playoffs. And that's the longest playoff drought in the NFL. said the word I wouldn't use, or the, I wouldn't use the word patience. That's not what they want to have. They are going to give Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh leeway to build this thing, but he does want to see results. He wants to see things headed in the right direction. And he's going to do everything he can to make sure that they can put a winning team on the field week one of this year and win as many games as they can this year. He said that Douglas and Saleh will have all the support that he can provide to make sure that happens. So all of that stuff is what you want to hear from an owner. And Woody Johnson has had his struggles with kind of saying the wrong thing in these settings before. And I thought he said the right things today, and I'll give him credit for that.
You mentioned Zach Wilson, Andy, and he spoke as well. What did he have to say?
Yeah, Zach Wilson talked today about what it was like, his first offseason experience in the NFL and going through all these workouts. And he said, when asked to kind of assess his performance, that it's hard for him to assess his performance because he doesn't really know how he did. There were, even on the good days, there were a lot of frustration, and that's because he's getting so much stuff thrown at him and learning so much that he's also making mistakes. So even though it may look good on the outside, he knows that he can do better. And that to him is frustrating because he's not executing to his capability, because he's still learning a completely new offense and he's still going against athletes who are faster than anything he faced in college. So it's an adjustment period. So mistakes that he's not used to making in his mind, he's making now. So a lot of times it still looks really good to us, but to him, it didn't feel that way. So he said, even on the good days, I can be frustrated. And then admitted that they're getting so much stuff thrown at them that, like, after practice today, Michael Carter came up to him and said, it's hard to know if it was a good day or a bad day, because you're it's just an overwhelming experience. I'm paraphrasing on that last part there, but that's basically the message I took away from that. But overall, Wilson says he feels good about the direction things are going. And in terms of when he was kind of asked about what's the difference going to be when you're in pads, he says that in his mind and as a quarterback, he feels like he got a lot of good experience this spring, and that the Jets do a good job of simulating something that's pretty close to the real game, because as a quarterback, you're still feeling the pressure, even if you know guys aren't going to hit you, and you're still having to read the defense quickly. But obviously it's going to be at a whole nother level when they're in pads, and then when he's in the preseason, and then when he moves on to week one. And he said that will be faster than ever, but I'm excited to get into it. And that's what you want to hear from him. He said he plans to get the receivers and running backs together at some point this offseason to keep working, and that he plans to keep watching a lot of film, and he's not worried about getting burned out or whatever, because he says he feels like when he watches film, that's an escape from football for him. I don't really get it, but yeah, that's probably a good attitude to have, where he doesn't feel like it's work. He just wants to go back, rehash things, see what he could have done better, and see what he would do in the next situation. He felt like that's an escape for him. So obviously he plans on putting in a lot of work this offseason, both mentally and physically.
One of Wilson's top targets, Corey Davis, spoke. And apparently, even though he said before Zach Wilson was drafted that he came in here with the understanding that Darnold was going to be the quarterback, he was happy that Zach Wilson is the guy. I know that when he came in, he wasn't going to throw Sam Darnold under the bus, and he obviously had no idea what the Jets' plans were. So there was a little bit of a cross of wires here, but it seems to me that the main message was that he's happy that Zach Wilson is here and he's optimistic about the kid's future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happened is that in Corey Davis's mind, he made a throwaway comment that was supportive of Sam Darnold and basically saying, you know, he's the quarterback. But what he actually said was, from my understanding, he's going to be the quarterback here, which we're the media and we parse words, and that's our job. And so we read into that, and we read into exactly what he said, and so did the fans. And so he's probably some frustration there that A, it was read into so much by everyone, and then B, that he was asked about it again. So I get where he's coming from. And Davis was, pleasant the rest of the interview. So no issue with it. If from my standpoint. And yeah, he said he's excited about Wilson. He's excited about Elijah Moore. He's excited about the way the offense fits him, and he's excited about the season coming up. So Corey Davis is obviously going to be a big part of this offense, and it's going to be a big, important target for Zach Wilson, and a guy who I think can make a real difference for the Jets this year. And it's going to be exciting for Jets fans to see what's in store.
Greg Knapp, who's going to be the passing game specialist, also seems very bullish on Zach Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. He likes everything he's seen from the young kid. Now, he wouldn't compare him to anybody that he's seen before because it's too early. He said he wants to actually see Wilson in an in-game setting before he makes any comparisons. And maybe when he sees that, he'll avoid making comparisons, because that's always a slippery slope. But yeah, he's impressed with everything he's seen from the kid, the work ethic. And he talked about how previously when guys were really good at throwing off platform, but kind of got into some bad habits with footwork, that he would try to correct that. But with a guy like Wilson, he's so good at like kind of moving his arm slot around in the motion. And that's not a natural thing. It's just a sense that he has, that he's not going to try to change it because it works for him. And he doesn't make a lot of inaccurate throws, even when his feet aren't set. It's not like a Sam Darnold situation where almost every time he screwed up, it can go back to the footwork that he was never able to fix. So it's an interesting kind of little nugget there about what he's learned as his coaching career has evolved, and interesting insight that he shared with us.
Mike LaFleur, okay, who is also going to be very involved in the offense, or at least I hope he will. It'd be awkward if he wasn't, since he's the offensive coordinator. He talked to, what did he have to say?
Yeah, I think he will be pretty involved. And obviously he was asked a lot about Zach Wilson. And one of the interesting things where he kind of shed light about why Zach Wilson may have struggled from the outside perspective these last 2 weeks is that the early part of OTAs really into week three was mostly scripted. So every time they went 11 on 11, Wilson knew what plays he was going to run for that four or five play segment. So there wasn't a lot of thinking that he had to do before the snap. But the last 2 weeks of practice, they basically decided to go unscripted. So LaFleur was just radioing in the plays to him right before the play as the play clock's running down. You know, as long as he can talk to him before it cuts out. And then it's up to Wilson to get the guys into position and snap the ball and then execute the play. And that's a lot for a rookie quarterback to do. And he said that Wilson, you know, handled it really well. So, I mean, even if some of the execution stuff wasn't great once the play went off, the fact that you didn't see a lot of mistakes at the line of scrimmage before the play, there weren't false starts, very many of them. There weren't guys who looked like they were totally lost or in the wrong position. And that's, remember, a month ago, he was just getting his hands on the playbook for the first time. So that's a pretty good sign of Wilson's progress. Also said that even though there's been some frustration that Wilson has admitted to, it's not like he's sulking or needs a pep talk or anything. He's extremely self-motivated and has done a great job of how can I get better? And that's his whole mindset. And that's an exciting thing for LaFleur and obviously for the Jets. He also talked about Elijah Moore and kind of offered some insight on the great play that we've seen throughout the offseason program. And the fact that Moore has been so good at lining up in different spots and succeeding there LaFleur said that that's really impressive to him because it's really hard for a receiver to be effective in multiple roles. That there's a reason why there's not many guys in the league who can do it. And the fact that he was able to come into the scrimmages or the team drill settings, know what he was doing and make plays. He said you can't hide it when a guy is as capable of making plays as Moore is, and it obviously showed, and he was impressed by what he was able to do. So a couple of interesting insights on the Jets' two top talent rookies that they took in the draft this year.
We heard from the defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. And one thing that I got out of the comments that he made is that he is really not committed to any of the cornerbacks as far as who's going to start this year. It really seems like it's going to be a free-for-all, at least in terms of who they have on the roster right now.
Yeah, that part of the conversation was about Bryce Hall. And Bryce Hall is basically the most experienced of the cornerbacks who was on the field during this offseason, because Bless Austin was injured for a lot of it. So the question was basically, did he get a leg up on the starting job? And while Ulbrich was impressed with how Corey Hall looks and said there's a real chance that he will earn that job, that nobody really like took the lead in that position. So yeah, it's going to be an open competition in training camp. I still think that they're going to bring in a veteran. So I think it'll be a competition for one spot. And he said that multiple guys are capable of winning that job. And another interesting thing that he said is he was asked, did they miss Marcus May? He was asked directly that question during OTAs, and he kind of like paused before giving his answer. And then he said, this was the first time I got to work with, I didn't really know Marcus May until 2 days ago, but his leadership, both on and off the field, the respect that he commands in the locker room, he was really impressed with that. And then said, so to be totally honest with you, yeah, we did miss him, but I'm confident that Marcus is going to be fully up to speed when we hit the ground running in training camp, and that he's going to make this group better in every way. And I thought that was high praise for Marcus May, and I appreciated the honesty that we heard there. And also, he's got a way with words. One of the things that he said about Bryce Hall is that he's a guy who ends up with calluses on his hands because he's taking so many notes. And that's not, you know, the kind of description that you usually get from a defensive coordinator. It's usually up to us as writers. So he's, Ulbrich's a pretty bright dude and has a pretty good way with words. And I'm impressed with the way he handles the media. And I think Jets fans are going to like this guy and listening to what he has to say every week during the regular season.
Andy Vasquez covering the Jets for NorthJersey.com. Thanks so much for coming on and recapping everything that went down at day number 2 of mandatory minicamp. There's not going to be a day number 3. So the next time we talk about on-field action, it will be at the end of July. So now we enter that strange period where we're all jonesing for anything football related. But for now, we are going to have to just remember what we saw here during OTAs and, of course, mandatory minicamp this week. Andy, you're going to be writing plenty of stuff anyway, even though there's nothing going on in the field right now. There's plenty to look forward to, a lot to analyze. You've got it all over at NorthJersey.com. And for just 99 cents, you can get 6 months of unlimited access to everything at NorthJersey.com, including the stuff that you do and including all the other great local journalism. You get a lot of that for free, but there's a bunch of it behind the paywall, and 99 cents gets it all for you. Breaks down to like 15 cents a month. That's an amazing bargain, right, Andy?
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have a lot of good stuff for you there, too, including something behind the paywall later this week. I'll get to that in a second. But tomorrow, or I'm sorry, it'll probably be today for you guys. On Thursday, I'll have something up early in the morning on Zach Wilson, kind of breaking down what LaFleur said about his development and how the Jets challenged him and how Zach Wilson feels about where he's at and what the next step is for him. So check that out. Also have something on Robert Saleh coming up later on Thursday. And then on Friday, a subscriber-only story breaking down the entire offseason in depth and what we learned. So I'd encourage you to check that out. And there was even some more stuff that we didn't get to talk about today that will be in there. So please check it out at NorthJersey.com. And please subscribe. I promise you, you will not regret spending 99 cents for 6 months. It's worth it.
Make sure that you pay your 99 cents so that if nothing else, when you yell at Andy on Twitter, he'll pay attention to you. Among other reasons, like I said, getting great local journalism and all the stuff that Andy just talked about, especially the things that are behind the paywall. There's going to be a lot of that coming up over the next month or so because there's no on-field action. And we're going to have lots of content, too, over at playlikeajet.com, where you can read our latest, including Sharman Phillip, who had a really good article. It's short, but it makes a great point about how, as much as the Jamison Crowder saga was annoying for Jets fans and annoying for everybody involved, it was just a part of the nasty business that is football. So sometimes that's what we have to deal with as football fans. There's that other side of it. There's a business that goes with the game, and he really summed it up well. That's over at the site right now. We've got videos up on our YouTube channel, including breakdowns of both Michael Carter's, Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson. We've got a look at the aspects of the Rams offense that the Jets should take a look at and maybe try to incorporate into their offense in 2021. That's all courtesy of Luke Grant. Kayla Pace has her commentaries up, Pace's playbook. You can check that out as well. Those are always fantastic. And if you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.